Good morning. Again, if you do not know who I am, my name is Tanner Griffith. I'm one of our pastors here. If you're new with us, we just want to give you a special welcome this Mother's Day. Thank you for joining us. We would love to invite you to stick around with us for 6 weeks. We call that Stick Six. We find that it takes about 6 weeks to kind of get to know us, to kind of figure out who we are. We really think that if you do that, we hope that you'd find yourself welcome in this place and that you would find a home. We really would love to be that for you. This church exists to make disciples who know, live, and advance the gospel. We'd love for you to join us in that. Today, we are continuing on our 2 Timothy series. This 2 Timothy letter started last week. We actually started in chapter 2, and we're talking about how Paul is writing this younger pastor named Timothy, and this whole letter is really about discipleship. It's about him. He is challenging him to pass along the teachings of the gospel to faithful men and women that would pass that along to those who would make disciples. And we ask this question, hey, where are you in this? Like, are you passing along information? Are you part of those faithful men and women that would pass that along to others? This week, we're in chapter 1. We're starting at the beginning of the letter, and we're looking at how Paul is really trying to encourage Timothy. Timothy has some fear in his life, and Paul is trying to show him the realities of his life in Jesus Christ, and how that can make even a timid or kind of fearful person walk in this powerful way, in this life of power, love, and self-control. That's what he's wanting to do. So today, I want us to all consider these places in our life where there might be fear or shame that like really hinders the way we walk with Jesus, particularly publicly. This morning, Paul is writing this letter to really encourage Timothy. Hey, God didn't give you the spirit of like fear and timidity. His spirit is one of power, love, and self-control. And I think that would do well for every single one of us. God has not given us the spirit of like fear and intimidation. We walk with this new life where we're not afraid of what man can do to us because of what Jesus Christ did to sin and death and Satan. He's destroyed it. So he gives us this new way to walk. So this morning I want to pray and ask God to help us see the just amazing things in this passage. If you would, let's pray. Pray with me. God, we ask in this moment that your word above all would be heard. God, would you open our ears to hear the message that you are speaking to us today? Would those of us in this room that do not know you, would they just even get a whisper of your grace towards them to hear that word that you want to tell them this morning, which is, I love you. Come to me. God, for those who've been walking with you for a while, maybe we fill our time, we're just in a season of doubt. God, this morning, would you speak to them this morning? God, for those of us who are in a season of celebration, whatever our life is going on, would you speak to us according to your word and in your way? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, if you weren't here with us, I told you a little bit about who Paul and Timothy were. Paul, if you don't know, Paul is an apostle. He is going around and he's planting a lot of churches all over the Roman world at this time. He's been on several missionary journeys at this point. He is, we know, in prison right now. He's in chains as he writes this letter to a young pastor. This pastor who is in this town of Ephesus. Timothy is this younger pastor. And so I even wanted y'all last week, I suggested, hey, you can really think about this letter in a really like human light. This would be like someone that's well advanced in me, maybe a guy that mentors me, an older pastor. He's writing me a letter and he's telling me, he's encouraging me, the pastor that has a local congregation in some ways that he just really needs to be encouraged. Timothy has some real particular difficulties in Ephesus that are much like the difficulties we face in our world. Let me tell you a few of those because you need to know some of the difficulties and what Timothy is facing to understand this first chapter of 2 Timothy where Paul's going to encourage him to really be bold. Be bold and be brave. Those are the two things that I would say you should hear in this passage. Be bold, be brave. So why does he need to be bold? Why does he need to be brave? He is facing a difficult task, a different difficult culture. This message of the gospel is changing things in the Roman Empire. It is going out and people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And there's these pockets of people that are coming together and they're called churches. Timothy is at one of these churches in Ephesus. And you've got to remember just the nature of this letter. Timothy is getting a letter from one of his mentors that's in prison because of his faith. So that's the culture, that's the environment that he's living in. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you share the gospel, you are possibly looking at being arrested, being flogged, being tortured. I mean, that's the environment that he faces. On top of this, you know, Christianity, this new gospel message really has some actions. It's not just this message because the Roman Empire had a ton of religions. It was very similar to the day in which we live where there's just lots and lots of different faiths. Well, this faith, particularly Christianity, comes into the scene and is just having some real effect. It's going out. People are believing this message. But part of the problem is like, who is believing this message? It's poor people. It is people that are slaves in this time. It is going through and all these people are starting to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's really starting to mess with like social order. Like the Roman Empire had this class thing going down. Well, like, if you were up in the top, you had a good life. If you were down at the bottom, man, you were not thought of as valuable. But this gospel message comes in, and the message is Jesus Christ loves you. He's giving this value. He's died for you, and he's exalting you. And in type of that, you are now being called sons and daughters of God with this religion. Your eternal realities have now moved from, man, the society that just thought you were nothing, to you have this inheritance far beyond what you can imagine. For eternity now, you will live and rule with God on this new earth. I mean, this message is ridiculous. And so social orders are just getting, there's this like upheaval that's happening. And the Romans, one reason they're persecuting Christians is because this is messing with the way things are, the way things our world run. This is like our society runs. We need these kind of class distinctions. And you guys are coming in and you're supporting these people. You're loving these people. It's like people are being provided for in this community. And so Timothy is in one of these. He's in a church in Ephesus. The gospel is messing not just with belief, it's messing with action, the way the world even works, society works. And his mentor is in prison. His ministry that he does likely could land him in prison, likely get him killed. And so Paul's writing him this letter. That's a difficult situation. I mean, imagine if you're in that situation, What is our situation? We do live in a time of judgment. You know, the time of judge not lest you be judged is well done. We are in this is the age of judgment. Everyone on Twitter, if we don't like the way you're doing something, we judge you. All of us do it. Every single one of us. It is the age of rage. We judge not lest you be judged. That is done for. You know, there's certain parts of our faith that we might think, man, this kind of seems behind our times. Like we believe certain things that are offensive to the world in which we live. It is not so far off from Timothy in the sense of there's some things that you might be ashamed of that Paul could possibly encourage you with this morning. There might be some fear in your own life, you in our culture. We need to think, what are the things that I'm afraid of? What are the things I'm ashamed of? And so I want to start just right before our passage. We're reading in verse 8, but right before this in verse 7, you can actually look at verse 6. I have verse 7 on the screen. But look, if you have a Bible, you can read verse 6 too with me. It says, "For this reason I remind you, Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now this is the important part. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." This is like right before this message that we're going to see. Paul is coming in and he's saying, Timothy, fan into flame this gift that's been given to you. Don't operate in a spirit of fear. Operate in the spirit that God gives. God doesn't give a spirit of fear. God gives a spirit of power, love, and self-control. Those three things are amazing when they're together. When they are separated, they're challenging. You know, if someone comes at you in a spirit of power, how does that sometimes feel? Not loving, right? Sometimes it goes, whoa, this person is not in self-control. Have you ever felt that with a powerful time? Somebody comes at you with some power. It feels like, oh, there's not much self-control here. There's not much love here. Man, somebody might come with you at a spirit, we'll call this love, but it's just all mushy stuff. It's not all real. It kind of feels like a Hallmark card. Some of you have told me sometimes I feel like that to you. Like you're kind of like a Hallmark card. You don't have all this power. And I'll be honest, that's legit sometimes. Because I am afraid of conflict. I'm afraid of it. Some of you are too. The spirit of love, maybe when we come, doesn't feel very powerful. Maybe it's self-controlled. You would say that? Self-controlled people, a lot of times, you just think they're boring. That's like when they come to you, you're like, they're in control. That's kind of boring. You put all three of these things together, power, love, and self-control, the spirit that God gives us, that changes the world. God gave each and every one of you who believe in him not a spirit of fear. The spirit that comes into your heart is a spirit of power, love, and self-control. When you mix power and love and self-control, you've got God's spirit working and moving through you. That's not the way we always operate as people. We need this outside work of the spirit in our lives to help us walk in this way. Well, why does he need this power? He's got some things that he's facing. So let's look what Paul says in these verses. I want to show you the four commands. Paul's going to give Timothy four commands today, and we're going to break them up in pairs today. There's four commands. Don't be ashamed. Share in suffering. That sounds good. Follow the pattern of sound words, which is doctrine. And then finally, guard the deposit. So let's look at these four. Let me read verse 8 with me. You get two of the commands of this passage. He says, therefore, because God gave you a spirit of power, love, and self-control, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. There's two of the commands. Don't be ashamed about the testimony of our Lord and share in suffering. Let's go. Let's see the final two commands. These happen in verse 13 and 14. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. These are the four commands. There's four commands, and I think these commands really do work up into basically be bold, be brave, and believe. Those are the three. I don't normally do alliteration like that, guys. I should see some pens or amens or something. It's like be bold, be brave, believe. That's what I think they break up into. So let's look at the be bold, be brave commands. These are the first two, which are don't be ashamed and share in suffering. That was that first verse 8 where he says, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. That's that first command. See, in this, it is crazy, but for some weird reason, these Christians in the early church in this Roman society, they're wearing these crosses. It's like a sign of humiliation. This was the symbol of humiliation to the Roman Empire. This is the thing, like a cross was how the Romans were going to humiliate you. And he's saying, don't be ashamed about the testimony of our Lord. What the Romans see is foolish. What the Romans see is complete shame and dishonor. That they hung your Savior. They nailed him to a tree. That was like embarrassing. To that culture, for you to believe that your God was killed by the Romans was like something that actually was like to culturally, man, that's kind of a shameful thing. Well, that's not what we completely believe, right? But that's how it sounds. It's like the cross was how that's how the Romans killed Jesus. He's saying, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, which includes the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ was just foolishness to this time. How is this the thing that we're like wearing around our necks? The suffering that Jesus went through, man, that's like, it was something in that day and age that was like shameful. And he says, don't be ashamed. And it reminds you of Romans 1 where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for in it is the power of God unto salvation. It's actually the cross of Jesus Christ is only not only to not be ashamed of, is the very thing to be boasted in. It is the cross of Jesus Christ that the Romans thought is the foolishness of God. But Paul's saying, no, this is our wisdom. It is at the cross that Jesus Christ took all of our sin. And it is at the cross that he defeated sin. It is at the cross where Jesus Christ said, it is finished. I've accomplished everything. It's done. And the resurrection just showed the reality. It's finished. It's right. He rose victorious over sin, death, and Satan. And Paul tells Timothy, don't be ashamed. Be bold. Because this message, this gospel message, this testimony about our Lord will raise people to life. The gospel has power to bring about salvation. Wherever it goes, you need only to share the gospel. And yeah, to society, to your culture right now, this is like foolishness. Just imagine these Romans, citizens, that are listening to, I mean, imagine sharing your faith in that day. So let me tell you, this is what I believe. Jesus Christ was long foretold in the Old Testament. He comes. He's born of Mary. He lives this life. He lives a perfect life. You know, the Romans put him to death. And then 3 days later, he rose again. Some people be like, wait, so you're saying we killed your God? Like, it's just a weird thing. If you're a Roman citizen, just imagine the craziness of that. Like, so we, it's strange. It is a very strange message. Now, obviously, you're going to share your faith in a little bit more detail, but that was the strangeness. And Paul's saying, do not be ashamed of this testimony. It is this testimony that brings us life. And then he goes on to this second command, which we talked about last week, which is like, why do these things get tied together? Share in suffering. He's like, be bold, be brave, because to be honest, in this world, you're going to share in suffering. The call to follow Jesus Christ is not an easy call. In every age, in every time, those who follow Jesus Christ are not promised this incredibly easy path. He says, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. The only thing that could help us share in suffering is the very power of God. The reason we should even share in suffering is because of the gospel, for the gospel. It's the reason that we walk the hard road is so that people would come to know and believe the very message of life that has come to us. The very message that has told us we are not who we thought we were. You know, deep down inside of us, I think our inner voice critic in our head has always told us, you're alone, you're not really loved. If people knew who you really were, they would leave you. They would abandon you. And it is the gospel of God that comes into that voice and says, you are wrong. There is one who knows you. There is one who knows every deed that you've done. Your inner critic is wrong. You are the beloved of God. Repent from your false belief. Repent of your belief that you are not loved, that you are alone. You are not. He is with you and he has loved you. The gospel comes forth. This is why we share in this suffering, is because we want people to know that message. And the only way that can happen is he tags that line, do this by the power of God. This is the way Jesus walked. Jesus walked a path of suffering. His path included the cross. This is the Jesus way. Suffering is in the will be in all of our lives. But we are never alone, and we walk this way by the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, by the power of God. We walk by his Spirit, again, who gives us the Spirit of power, love, and self-control. So these first two promises here, I've got to just lay out to you. He's talking to a pastor, so this, to me, right now, I'm like, okay, this applies to my life. Tanner, where are you not bold? Where are you ashamed? That's a good question to ask myself this week. Tanner, where are you not willing to like follow me in the hard places? But I think this passage does a lot too for all of us is, I'm supposed to call you to the same thing Paul's telling Timothy. This is the life that Jesus walked, and we're supposed to follow him. So for you, where are you ashamed? Where are you fearful? In our culture, where are you believing the things that our culture tells us you needed to believe versus what God says and his word? Where are you not willing to walk into hard places And here's what I want to say. I was just thinking about this church, this early church. Honestly, the reason that the real Christians were persecuted at the beginning was because they were challenging total social order. It's like basically the poor were coming in flocks to the church. They were being loved, being cared for. The message was like these, there were Roman slaves that were just flocking to the church. And all of social order was like being changed, and the Romans hated this. And yes, they definitely didn't like that we were saying Jesus is Lord, not Caesar is Lord. But really what was happening is a lot of social order was not going out. Where are we? Are we a church that just looks like more like a religious thought that has no implications to what our community looks like? Are we brave? Are we bold? Paul, when he was given his mission, when he went to Jerusalem and he told the apostles, this is what God's called me to do, is to be a missionary to the Roman Empire, to the Gentiles. They affirmed his call and they told him to do one thing. One thing. Remember the poor. Give the gospel to them, but one thing, remember the poor. We have some room to work at in this church. I mean, look around us. Are we caring for the poor? Does our mission include challenging social orders that need to be upended, injustices that need to be completely wiped away in our culture? We can be a church that can be ashamed and not share in suffering. But that's not what God's calling us to. He's calling us to be unashamed, to be like only boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ and to share in suffering. The things that God's calling us to, when we push against societal norms and order, it's going to be hard for us to love those that are in need, for us to get uncomfortable. That's something that we have to do. I want us to be brave and be bold. Not be a church that just can kind of exist and no one really cares because we don't really do anything. We come together and we talk. I told you I was going to convict you in these next passages in 2 Timothy, and we need to be convicted. God's calling us to be bold and to be brave. And then he calls us to believe. This is the second command. Listen to this. In verses 13 and 14. He says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. This passage right here is giving two commands. Follow the pattern, which is the pattern of sound words or doctrine that I've given you, and guard the deposit. And I really do think that he's talking about guarding your faith. This deposit that's been given to you, I've passed it on to you. He's saying, believe. This is why the song that we sang this morning, I Believe, is an important song for us. We believe in the triune God. This is the God that Jesus passed on to Paul. Paul passed on to Timothy and just keeps on being handed down. We are called to be people of belief, to not give up on our beliefs. What we believe is that this Bible is the inspired word of God, and in it pertains everything that we need for life and godliness. This is what we believe. This is why every single week we open this. Paul is telling Timothy, don't leave these beliefs. There are many. The church was already in Paul's own city of Ephesus, being this message of the gospel was being warped. Already people were saying, yeah, Jesus is good and all, but look, you have to do these Old Testament laws on top of what you're doing. Like, you need to believe this, but also, hey, all you guys, y'all need to get circumcised, and you got to do this to be good and be right. And also, people are starting to go off a deep end of being like, hey, the resurrection's already happened here. We can kind of live however in the world we want. We can be crazy because God loves us. The resurrection's happened. In this world, we can just kind of live however we want. There was some crazy stuff that Paul was even, or Timothy was seeing in his own area. And it was just not solid belief. These people did not have solid doctrine. And so there's two things that I want you to consider. One, where are you in your boldness, in your bravery? Where are you in your belief? Where do you need to grow? Some of us, here's what I'd say. Some of us lean more to being kind of like missionaries, which are typically kind of like bolder, braver people. And they need to, a lot of times, work on belief. They need to like have some beliefs there. And then there's some of us that, man, we've got our doctrine. We know it. We know what we believe, but we kind of like stay in these like classrooms, and we need to be bold and be brave. Does that make sense? There's two types of people. It's like missionaries or monks, typically, right? One's cloistered. They stay around. Just they got their doctrine and their beliefs down. The other's like always loving out in the community. We need both. We need to go between those worlds. We need to be loving our community, being brave, being bold, but we also need to be people of belief. I want to share just in the center of this passage is the center of Paul's message, which is just, it is Christ. We cannot operate in any of these ways if we just do not know and meet and live out of life with God. And the center of this in verses 9 through 10 is what I just want you to hear. He goes, right before this, he gives that verse where he says, you know, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So he talks about, man, this happens by the power of God. In verse 9, it says, this God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ before the ages began, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you see and feel the power of that statement? Why would we share in suffering? Because look, we do this by the power of God who saved us and called us. He saved us and called us to a holy calling. And why did he do that? Why did he save us and call it? Not because of our works. Paul's like, this is not because of our works. You just, Timothy, were not a good person. I was not a good person. The way we've come to faith all in this room, it is not because we are good people. If I asked you today, hey, why do you think in eternity you just spend it with God? If you said, because I'm a good person, I'd have to say, no, you're not. And that's not why you would spend eternity with God. It's not according to your works. You weren't given this holy calling. You weren't saved for this holy calling because of your works. You were saved for his own purpose and grace. God's going to get all the glory in your life. Every single good thing you've ever done is because of his prompting, his pushing. He has saved you because of just his grace towards you. He has loved you just because, not because of your works, in spite of your works. How do we get this grace? He goes on. He just goes on a real tangent. It's like a super long run-on sentence here. It really is. In the Greek, it's like, what in the world? It's hard to like keep up with. It was through Jesus. How did we get it? It's because it's Jesus. His grace has two primary things here, which is just amazing. One is, he goes, you got this grace before time. That's an awesome grace. You received the grace of God before the ages began. How about that? Before you could do anything, good, bad, evil, you were given this grace. The second thing is now. But right now, in Christ appearing, his grace is just manifested to you. It's sure. We know we've got it because he has come. He in the now. It's before time and now and forever we will have his grace because he purposed it. He's given it to us. This is at the heart of the call to be bold, be brave, and to believe is Christ. Christ is the center of this whole passage. He has called us not because of our works, but because of his grace. He has done it incredibly. Before time began, he gave us this grace. How loved are you? Before time began, God had you on his mind. God had us on his mind, and he had given us grace before we were conceived. Not before our mothers were conceived. Before the mother was conceived, whoever that first, it's before time. God had his grace set on you. And now, particularly that Jesus has showed up, it's undoubtable. His grace is just on you. What did Jesus do? This is where the power comes in. I love it. He abolished death. That's our message. Jesus abolished death. Two, he brought life. What else did he bring? Immortality to light. You know why we should not be ashamed and not be worried about sharing in suffering? Because Jesus abolished death. He has brought life and he's brought immortality to light. We cannot die. For those of us in Jesus Christ, we cannot die. How amazing is this? This is power. Jesus Christ is transforming us. The center of all of this is Jesus Christ. Be bold, be brave. Why? Not because you just feel like you should be just, I see wrong. See Jesus. Do you hear that? Let me say it one more time. A lot of us might see wrong in the world. That's good. See the wrong, but also see Jesus. Look at him. He will cause you to be bold and be brave. Also, why should we believe? Jesus. Standard Sunday school answer. All your kids, when you ask them what they learned in our kids' rooms, they're going to say, Jesus. Well, that's what you learned today too, okay? The center of this passage, your discipleship, has to be Jesus. He is the one that introduces us to the Father. He is the one that has sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts. It is in Jesus Christ that we dwell with God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We live life with God. Let's be brave, let's be bold, and let's believe. This is what he is calling us to. As his disciples, what do you fear? Dig into that. Dig in that with Jesus. What do you believe? Look to Christ. And consider this week, maybe in your groups, what's the next step for you? You need to start meeting with somebody on maybe some doctrinal faith type stuff. Or you didn't need to like go to your neighbor's house and start a relationship where you can be bold and be brave and tell them about Jesus. Let's consider these things as we leave. Let's pray. God, we give you this word. God, this morning, we pray that you would help us truly understand that we are loved by you, that you are the God who before time even existed had set your grace upon our hearts. God, I pray that even now in our response, God, that your grace would be above every single thing, that we would worship you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who has loved us. It is in Jesus' name that we make this prayer. Amen.